Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back on a Wednesday, here we go, 60 minutes on ice. It's Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon. We've got Chris Cuthbert coming up at 12:25 or so. Busy show. We'll talk about the Flames and the scrimmage yesterday and a whole bunch more. Let's talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
I thought we were much crisper today. The turnovers were less. Guys were making smart decisions or smarter decisions through the neutral zone in order to get pucks deep if they didn't have something, instead of trying to make something happen and potentially turning things over. I thought we did a better job of getting in and turning some things over forecheck wise. So some of the things in the game we liked, I thought, we got to battles more quickly in this game, which is something that needs to happen. So, the way that our game progressed today, I thought it was a big step forward for us. And there's a lot of good things that we can take out of the scrimmage. But yeah, it was definitely better than the first scrimmage.
There you go. Head coach Jeff Ward after the scrimmage that took place yesterday at the Dome. And Peter, you were there. Give me your thoughts on compare the two, I guess, the scrimmages.
Well, I would say the comparison was very much laid out by Jeff. I just thought the structure was better. I thought the attention to detail, I thought certain individuals were a little bit more impactful. I thought as a collective group of defensemen, there was way better performances, which is understandable, as we've talked about, in regards to you knew people were going to be game rusty. So I would suggest, and Jeff just talked about it, that in a world that is about progress and not perfection, hoping that some more perfection comes about by August 1st, that they took a nice step and they were better on yesterday afternoon than they were Sunday night.
Well, that's what you want. I mean, you'd be horrified it was the other way around where they were getting worse, right? So that's the good news. I guess some of the storylines that people were talking about, Elias Lindholm leaves early, but he said it was just, super precautionary. Your thoughts on the big man leaving early?
Well, I'm just not taking any chances with somebody, and we've documented it several times since Hockey Central returned on July the 6th, and that is his importance to this team is just hard to even measure with all that he does, how much he plays. He plays in every key situation. You are absolutely taking no chances. And somewhat along those lines, Kelly, the one thing that I did notice, thinking, you had a late night game on Sunday, you did what you did to, have a dry run for what you're going to get in games one and games two with the times. I found that by the end of yesterday, guys were dragging. Like, collectively, you could tell that, playing three lines as opposed to four for the guys who had all the extra special teams work, like, they've had to do a lot. It has ramped up really, really quickly. And I'll put it to you in this perspective, Kelly. There was not a plan originally to take today off. They took today off. And I'm pretty sure I know why they took today off, because when they took the temperature by the end of yesterday, they decided to go about their weekly plan a little bit different. So in talking about Elias Lindholm, when you know as a coach, and when he is arguably as trusted a worker and committed to his craft the way Elias Lindholm is, when you evaluate, Kelly, in any situation, and you've been a boss for a long time, aren't there certain people that you need to evaluate more than others? So maybe you don't need to see them, or they don't maybe need quite as many reps sometimes as others. Now, this situation is different because everybody's trying to get up to speed, but I think you know where I'm trying to go.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some guys you just kind of let them run. And they're pros, they know how to do it. Other guys need a little more attention, and I imagine that's the same with hockey. Well, Lou, this segment's been going up for 7 minutes, and that must be a little bit of a record, because we haven't talked about goalies yet, but we have to. Everyone's talking about that. That's kind of the two things that I keep
hearing. It's a big one.
The two things I keep hearing about, A, the top line can they do their thing against Winnipeg? And the second thing is, which goalie?
Well, and it's completely fair. And I don't know how deep you want to get into it today, but let's break down the goalie situation. So Jeff Ward has talked from day one that he's going to, by and large, let the best 20 people compete to give them the best chance August 1st. And the goalies, I think, are very much in that window. So coming out of Sunday night, understanding that not just the games, Kelly, but as we've talked about, all the practices matter. All the work matters, not just the games. But after a game on Sunday that I didn't think there was much of an advantage for one guy or the other, I can't sugarcoat yesterday. In the two periods to truly evaluate, not the special teams work, Cam Talbot was the better goalie. He to me, distinguished himself at least yesterday. I thought it was way more even Steven. Now, this is an incredibly difficult decision that they're going to make, and here's why. David's never played in a playoff game. David is under contract for one more year. Cam is in the final year of his one-year deal with the team, depending on what they decide to do. How do you learn about people in some cases if you don't see them in the most difficult of situations? David played well last year, but Mike Smith took the ball and you couldn't have run with it any better than he did against the Colorado Avalanche. But understand this. At a certain point in time as an organization, well, you need to see and you need some more intel. And do I think they have all the intel on David Rittich? No, because he hasn't played in a playoff game yet. However, the rest of the body of work still matters. And Kelly, going into the off season, you can't deny the fact that whether it's a Robin Leonard or a Jacob Markstrom or a Braden Holtby, depending on how you want to go, there might be other options. So to cut to the chase, this really has a lot to do with, to me, who separates themselves, but bigger picture, what do you need to see?
Yeah.
And if part of your thinking is this, we still want David to be a big part of our future, but potentially, have we identified that we think he's more of a long-term solution?
Yeah, you
so
know.
If,
yeah.
So my point is, if there is gray in that area, then I think it's even more up for grabs.
Lou, I could care less about next year right now. Honestly, like I don't think Flames fans care about next year. They want to have the best guy that can stop the puck. Don't care about feelings. Be nice if we had a run-up of 10 or 15 games to see who was ready to go, but you don't have that luxury. In fact, you only have one exhibition game, which I don't even know. You know, your guess is as good as mine to see what kind of tempo that's going to be. Not even sure about that.
Kelly, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there because you're a great person to ask in this situation.
All right.
So you have to make an incredibly difficult decision. You have to put your best people on a show to win a time slot. Yeah. Now, are you going to go with the hot guy at the certain time? Or are you going to factor in the body of work, how things are going to play out with your organization, and potentially answers that you haven't even had a chance to get to see? Now, I get it. From a fan standpoint, maybe even from your standpoint, it seems like, okay, we don't have time. Best guy plays. And I'm not saying that that's not the right answer. What I just always try to do on this show is I don't think it's as simple sometimes as people make it, because maybe they don't think about it in steps 4, 5, and 6. But I'm telling you, when it comes to GMs and those types and bosses, you don't have any choice but to not think about sometimes steps 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. Now, maybe you see that completely different.
I get what you're saying. I understand that. And I think for you know, a radio station or a hockey team or an oil and gas company, you actually, it depends on, there is some long-term stuff and there's also some short-term stuff. This short-term stuff is so important for the Flames. It's like, we're not talking about like October to see who's going to be able to grab the net. You don't have that luxury here. It's a situation, honestly, if it's Cam Talbot, I go with him and I worry about the fallout and next season. That's what I do.
Okay. That, you know what? And that is very fair, which is the last thing I would say on the goaltending situation, and maybe it will apply, maybe it wouldn't. Kelly, all our focus on is on who is going to start game one. I might be as equally interested in who's going to start game two.
Yeah. How do I word this question? Are you more impressed with the situation Cam Talbot's in, as he's worked out, he's got a home gym, we heard that earlier today, he's worked really hard, or are you more concerned that maybe David Rittich isn't quite where he needs to be? Where is it a good news story for Cam Talbot, or is it a concerning news story about David Rittich?
Well, I think they're in two very different situations. They're different ages. They're at different points in their career. And I love this question, Kelly, because their temperament is also different. You know, David can run hot. He's an emotional guy. But when emotional guys are running well, you can ride those people a long, long way. Like, that's what makes this so difficult. When the Calgary Flames take the temperature of their team and what they really need and what they feel gives them the best chance to succeed against the Winnipeg Jets, and I'm going to say it every day in every analysis leading up, what do you need? What do you need? Who's going to potentially play the puck better? Who every day in the drills, because that's it, right? We focus on the games. I'm not Jordan Sigalad. I feel incredibly comfortable in analyzing a ton about this sport. But in terms of the nuances of goaltending, like you and everybody else, like, I can tell in a game who's playing well. But sometimes to watch a practice and, you know, I can see who's stopping it and who's not, which at the end of the day is pretty darn important. But there's technical things and how you handle drills and how you play the puck. And frankly, Kelly, as a group, who you're just more comfortable with right now. Because you know what players aren't? They know.
Yeah.
Players know. Now, they can't come out and tell you, but I guarantee you, if you pulled the Calgary Flames, it would be fascinating, don't you think? Like we're trying to decide. The decision, I don't think, has been made, and maybe it has, but wouldn't you be fascinated by the intel if you went around that room and said, hey, who do you want to start on August the 1st, and how come?
Okay, well, let me ask you another one. What about, take us back to January, February, December. Who was a better practice goalie? Is there, because some guys are better at practice and other guys are way better in games and vice versa. Some guys are pros at both and want to stop it all the time. Which guy do you thought was maybe a little bit more dialed in, or can you even make that comparison?
I don't think I've ever completely looked at it that way, because the way I evaluate, Kelly, is it's your habits, right?
Yeah.
And your habits matter. But your habits translate into what you do in the games, because that's all that really matters at the end of the day. So, you know, for a long time, if you look back the last season, and let me add this, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter a whole lot what happened between October and March 12th. It doesn't. You know, we've already talked today about you go with the hot guy and your feel. I'm with you in a lot of ways. Because I've already seen players who, after a 3-month or 4-month hiatus, they're different. You know, I'd start with Dylan Dubé at the front of the list. So, you know, this is, I can't think of a more complex difficult decision. Now, maybe for the brass, it's easy. And maybe it's been easy for a long time. And maybe it is, Kelly. Maybe it truly is going to be from July 13th through the exhibition game. It's just flat out in their minds been who has the better work habits, who's been better each and every day, giving a little bit more weight to the games than practice.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a formula, but because the goalies are different, they give you some different things. Oh, I mean, I love the conversation, as you can tell. I just think getting to an answer is so difficult.
Well, it is, and it's such an important decision because you're not just talking about two goalies and, oh, where's Cam Talbot going to play next year, or what does this do for David Rittich going forward? It's like, what does it do for, you know, the management and stuff? Because if you pick it right and the team gets through Winnipeg, man, that's a whole lot, you know, easier to swallow than if it goes the other way. And that's the tough part on this, because it's such a hard decision. We're chatting with Peter Labardius. It is Hockey Central at noon, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, and producing and co-hosting today is Logan Gordon.
Big return yesterday for the scrimmage that we maybe weren't expecting, but Derek Ryan back out with the team yesterday, Lou.
Great to see. Veteran, reliable, consistent, was a very good performer last spring. As Jeff Ward has pointed out many times, Derek's a quiet, great habits person, but he's somebody that is, and this is a key word, Logan, he's very respected in that room. And he's respected in that room because of how he goes about his business and how he treats people. And, you know, even after the Flames have been eliminated, Derek has added to his bigger game portfolio by playing for his country, the United States, in back-to-back world championships. That just, again, the more big game type reps you have, I think you benefit. So outstanding to see him back. You definitely expect him to be part of one of the top two penalty killing pairs. And Kelly and I were just, Logan, talking about goaltending. Well, right after goaltending, a lot of times in the special is special teams and obviously your most important people. The interesting thing for me, and Derek missed basically a full week before he got back at it because of something that's been nagging at him, is what I kind of find is a bit of a, not an internal competition, but Sam Bennett has played in the middle recently between Milan Lucic and Dylan Dubé. We have also seen a lot of Derek Ryan over, you know, when that combination has come to fruition. So what do you end up doing with your lineup? There is no doubt in my mind Derek Ryan is in. It's a matter of where he's going to be and what his utilization is going to be. And the other part of it is they've shown at least to this point, Logan, that they're somewhat committed to Sam Bennett a little bit in the middle between those other two. But does it stay that way? And is that what you're looking for? And again, how do you match up against the Jets? Because, you know, when you think about their top two lines, you better check. And you better have responsible, diligent people who can check. So again, what do you need? And when it comes to breakdowns, well, I would guess, and the Flames will have last change in the first two games of the best of five, that Jeff Ward, I think, would be pretty interested when he can, and I don't think he'll hard chase it, but he'll probably want, you know, Backlund's group out against Scheifele's group. But you always need other options in terms of checking, the same way Paul Maurice is going to have a couple of lines in mind to deal best with Monahan and that group. So that's why I love this time. And we're now at the time, Logan, to, I think, really start to dig in about who's going to play against who. But we don't have enough answers yet because we're not quite far enough in the camp. And Derek Ryan's a perfect example because he missed time. So we still don't know. And we won't know probably until after that exhibition game or maybe, you know, how the lineup is come next Tuesday. But here's Derek Ryan the 33-year-old on being back and looking forward to another playoff opportunity.
Sorry, Lou, I don't have that clip ready to go for you here. I have the coach on Derek Ryan here.
Okay, well then let's play Jeff Ward on Derek Ryan.
You know, he's an integral part of our team, not only in terms of what he can bring on the ice, playing 5-on-5, but also being a key guy in the penalty kill and getting a little bit of time here and there in the power play. so he does an awful lot of things for us. But the one thing, Ryan, with him is that, he's great in our locker room. You know, the guys have a high level of respect for him. As a veteran guy with his work ethic and just how he is as a person, what he says in the room carries a lot of weight. So getting him back in our locker room is huge in terms of, preparing our team as we're moving forward here.
You can trust Derek Ryan. In the coaching world, in the sports world, trust is big. And it's incredibly important at playoff time.
Oh, my goodness. That's good stuff. So take us through. The guys have the today off and tomorrow scrimmage later on in the afternoon, I'm understanding.
No, my intel, Kelly, is that the scrimmage is likely now moved to Friday. It's been a very fluid situation. Like I said off the top, I don't believe today was originally a day off and that tomorrow was going to be a scrimmage. Now I'm hearing, and I haven't checked in the last half hour before they hit on the Flames PR site, but they haven't really been releasing it too far in advance. My guess is it's practice tomorrow and then a 4:30 potential inter-squad game on Friday. But we'll have all that information for you.
This is fun. It's changing. I watched like a baseball game I didn't know the outcome to. That was kind of fun last night. So this is starting to feel a little more real for us around here. A little more.
You know what else is fun?
What's that now?
I'm about to listen to a gentleman that I'm not sure I could possibly have more respect for, and excited as all get out to hear Chris Cuthbert, who I was lucky enough to be a teammate with during the Olympic Games in 2010. Cannot wait to have him on the Sportsnet airwaves broadcasting NHL playoff games.
Yeah, it's awesome. We're going to hear from him next right here on Sportsnet 960. Lou, have a great day. We'll talk tomorrow.
Awesome. Thanks for the chat.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Hey, only 3 days left so you can get that prize pack as we have this cool contest going, but it's running out. Everything has to run out and run its time. It's all for Upper Deck. Collect the best. Home of the world's greatest athletes. Visit upperdeckstore.com. Later on today, Pat's going to give a clue, then he'll give another clue, and maybe one more clue. If you know who he's talking about on the card of the day, you just text in your answer to 960-960. If you win, simple as this. We just ship it right to your house. You don't have to come downtown. You don't have to go to the closed reception office. We will just do it for you. Easy contest. Awesome. Lots of fun. And thanks to Upper Deck, as they've had a kind of a cool little get back to hockey contest for us here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Chris Cuthbert is next. A chat with him to talk about he's going to be inside the bubble. All that and more coming up on Hockey Central at noon.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon making way for Pinder and Steinberg, hosted by, Peter Klein and Pat Steinberg later on today. Baseball for you, too. About 5:25, we'll have the second of two exhibition games for the Blue Jays. They take on the Boston Red Sox from Fenway. We'll have the call for you, 5:25. Lots going on around. It's just going from 0 to 100 for us. We absolutely love it. Lots to talk about when it comes to hockey. Let's go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Now open for limited dine-in service with all safety precautions in place. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar for the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975, 6060 Memorial Drive in the Northeast. What about the bubble? We had Chris Cuthbert, the new guy from Sportsnet. He'll be doing hockey for the crew. And that's the first thing they asked him was, are you bubbling? Are you in the bubble? Are you outside the bubble? What's happening with you, CC?
No bubbling for us, which I think is different than the Toronto hub, which has got a lot of NBC personnel who are kind of going through that. I like the fact that we don't have to be in that bubble because I might get to have a few walks and get some fresh air. I'm going in day before Flames-Oilers exhibition game, so I'm going in on Monday, and I will be there for up to a couple of months, I guess.
Yeah. So, and your workload will be, because there's a lot of hockey to be played. You will not call all of it, but what are you going to be at the helm for?
I told the bosses that my max would be three games a day. I'm not doing more than three a day. But it looks like it's, to start with, it's the Canadian series. So we'll get the Flames and the Jets, the Hawks and the Oilers, and the Wild and the Canucks. So be two game days, I guess, every second day, and the other will be a single to start with, and they might sprinkle in if there's an open spot in the schedule and games of significance. We might sprinkle in one of the round robin games or something from the Arizona Nashville series.
Have you done anything quite like that in terms of workload on a daily basis?
You know, at the Olympics in Pyeongchang, we called three games a day, and that was for a couple of weeks. And when they first said that would be the assignment, I thought, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work. But you got into a bit of a rhythm with it, and the games were separated kind of a noon start, a late afternoon start, then an evening start. And once you get going, it worked out pretty well. So I don't think I can blame overwork, but you always worry about, you know, if you get a little bit of laryngitis or whatever, and all of a sudden you got two games that day, that can be an issue. So it'll be interesting to see how many extended overtime games we might get on a busy day or two.
That's exactly the thing I was going to ask too, because you know there's going to be some, and every round one we get them, and you know we're going to get them here. They're going to have to be a little flexible with start times. And I'm also curious, you're also a hockey fan. While you're not calling games, are you going to be hanging at the rink? Because these could be some potentially very long days.
Well, I think if you're doing a little pregame scout for your next game, you are hanging around. But I'm wondering how much of that round robin between the big four teams everybody's going to be hanging on, because it just doesn't seem to have the same drama as a 3-5 elimination. I mean, we know the St. Louis Blues are going to be in that opening round, and Dallas and those teams. So am I going to be hanging on every play in a game involving St. Louis and Dallas? I'm not sure in round one, but later on, if you know that it's Calgary or whoever playing St. Louis next, then you start to pay a little more attention.
He is Chris Cuthbert, going to be the voice in the Edmonton hub of the NHL playoffs coming up on Sportsnet. Ryan?
Chris, where's your, I guess, confidence level been throughout this? I know back in March when things paused, we didn't know what the future was going to look like, and seemingly predicting 2 weeks ahead has been a fool's errand. Have you been skeptical at times? Have you always been confident this would go off without a hitch? And are you certain that this is going to finish this tournament?
You know, I'm getting more confident. I don't know if any of us really knew what to expect a month or two ago, but so far so good. I mean, there are certain little lineup issues for some teams, like Jonathan Taves just left the other day, and Corey Crawford hasn't showed up in Chicago. But it sounds like everybody's getting back in Calgary and Edmonton and Vancouver. I don't think it's been an issue for players. So I think everybody's thought, if we can get to the hubs and everybody's in pretty good shape, then it's a go. I'm kind of at the point now where I'm only thinking about it being a success. Now, if we get there, and what happens if if it goes through one team. That's a big question. I did a series a number of years ago, Vancouver and St. Louis, and the Blues led the series 3-1, and then we started hearing about a flu bug that went through the Blues, and the Canucks roared back and won that series. And so, I mean, it can happen even in, you know, pre-pandemic, but I am wondering what happens if not just one team, but more than one team gets really hit hard once we get to the bubble. But for the most part, I think this can be done, and I think so far so good for the NHL.
I love the slate of games you're going to call here in this play-in round, the three Canadian series in the Edmonton bubble. Do you have any specific matchups that you're fascinated about, or a particular matchup that you're just salivating to get to start calling?
Well, I think we're spoiled. I think Vancouver-Minnesota is going to be long. You know, an all-Canadian matchup is what I signed up for when I came over. So the possibility of it anyway. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the Flames and the Jets. And I'll watch Connor McDavid anytime he wants to play. So it's all good at my end. I think it's all going to be spectacular. This, it's kind of, for me, it's like a Canada Cup or World Cup that we had a few years ago in the fall. It's kind of like that on steroids, or a little bit of March Madness sprinkled in. But I think the fans seem to have a real appetite for hockey, and which isn't always the case when you're talking about summer hockey. But this year's different, and I get a sense that everybody can't wait, and that's certainly the way I feel.
Chris, I'm curious what your preparation's been like the last even 2 weeks here. As this thing starts to take shape, you understand where you're going to be, and as Ryan said, all the series you're going to be calling. What's the preparation look like? Have you been watching some games from March and February, or what have you been up to the last, you know, week to 10 days here?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's gone back further than that. When I first kind of got a sense that this was happening, I started with all 24 teams. I guess I was keen and had a lot of time on my hands, so I watched at least a half a game for every team, and then 2 or 3 weeks ago they kind of hinted that I'd likely be out west, so I started dialing in on the 12 teams, and I've really in the last couple of weeks now kind of dug into the six teams I'll be doing in this first round. So the Canadian teams plus Minnesota and Chicago. So and in the next week I'll really kind of take a day and really get in deep on each of those teams. Yesterday was Calgary day, so you know, just looking for some extra stuff, some stats or roll-ins that we can use, so I like to go player by player at this point. So we're getting there. I must admit that I can over-prep at times, and if they want to drop the puck tomorrow, as long as Craig Conroy is not the referee, then I'm good.
Well, it's nice that we got you after Calgary, Dan. Then I guess you can maybe tell us, what are your thoughts on the Flames, and what do you see when you look at the Flames as they get to take on Winnipeg?
Well, I'm a little bit curious about what they're going to do in goal. Who gets the call? And you guys probably know a lot more about that than me. But I like the fact Derek Ryan's back in the lineup now. It's still hard. I keep hearing great things about every team, and all the skill guys right now are shining in every city. And you know, when it comes to playoff time, it's not going to be all about the thrill and skill. So, you know, it's hard to draw too many conclusions right now. But what do you think, Talbot or Riddick?
I was going to say, don't assume we know any more than you do, because we were just having the same conversation last hour.
Clearly.
It's a tough one, because Riddick at times has looked very strong, but then he's faltered, and Talbot much the same way down the stretch. Talbot was looking more like the more confident goalie for sure.
Yeah, and that's one of the other questions. Is, you know, when we prep for games, we'll often say, well, this guy, I mean, he's been hot for the last month, but the last time these team played. It was 4 months ago. So Mika Zibanejad, guys like that who were just lighting the league on fire, and Kevin Fiala for Minnesota. I mean, have they just broken through to a different level, or were they just hot 4 months ago and there's no carryover at all? So there's a million questions going into this, and that's kind of what makes it all pretty exciting. And the one thing Winnipeg, I would think, would have the edge in, and that's why I bring up the goaltending, because of Connor Hellebuyck. But, you know, do goaltenders, are they going to be are they going to be at the same level as skill guys after such a long layoff? Does it take a while for them to get their A game back? And maybe that goaltending edge that's perceived going in isn't an edge at all. So, you know, it's all new, and it's going to be pretty interesting.
Well, Chris, you mentioned it. You've done Olympic Games. You've done events where there's multiple games a day, and we know that these facilities are the best in the world. The refrigeration systems are fantastic. But have you given any thought to what some of the ice conditions might be like after three games on the same surface in one day?
Yeah, it's you know, I was thinking about that in Korea. And sometimes that late game, you know, could be an issue, especially once we get into extended overtime periods. And I guess there's going to be an hour and a half or 2 hours between games when the previous game's gone to an overtime period. But is that enough for the ice? Hopefully Edmonton's past any heat waves of the summer by the time we get there, but you know, we can't even be sure on that. But it is what it is at this point, and they'll all have to adjust to it.
What
can
about,
you imagine what it would have been like in Vegas, though?
Yeah, I know. That's what when we were saying the same thing all along. Vegas kept being trotted out as we get there's lots of hotels and all of that, but between spiking COVID numbers and the incredibly high temperatures, it just didn't seem like why it was becoming a fit. And then at the end of the day, they end up going with Toronto and Edmonton. Chris Cuthbert is our guest. I wanted to ask you a little bit, I guess. The start times. The Flames this week have three inter-squad games, one at 8:30, one at 12:30, like just afternoon, and one at 4:45, which will mimic their games 1, 2, and 3 against Winnipeg. I don't know. I've never played. It's going to be very difficult, I think, for some players to A, get into it without fans, and B, to get jacked for a 12:30 game. The preparation is going to be interesting for these teams.
Well, you know, I know NBC used to do a lot of 12:30 games even during the playoffs. So it happens. In fact, I think NBC even had the LA Kings, I'd have to check this, but I think to get a noon start local, they may have got to get a 2 o'clock start in the Eastern time zone. They might have even played before noon in LA. I'd have to check that. But hey, it's just like these guys going back to their minor hockey days and tournament time, and you could play at any time during the day, and you got to be ready. And I think more than the time of the game, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to no crowd. And Marcus Foligno, I was reading, for Minnesota, he's a guy that tries to change the momentum of games with big hits, and he was even questioning whether or not that will work the same way with no crowd, because often you do it to get the crowd in the game, and now that won't happen. So will the same big hit reverberate in the rink? Or will it jack up the bench, or will it have less effect because the crowd didn't react to it? So lots of stuff that we're just going to have to dip our toe in the water and figure out how it all starts to unfold.
You sound like a little kid. You must be so excited. We all are, and obviously you're going to be right in the teeth of it. Nothing like this has ever been done. How excited are you, from a fan perspective?
Yeah, that's why. I do get a sense. I was out for a walk last night, and a few people stopped, and they said, you know, I'm going to be in my pool, but I'm going to be watching all the games. So yeah, it's going to be a different fan experience. But I think people really have an appetite for it right now, and I certainly can't wait. And it is kind of like Christmas when they don't give you one series. At playoff time, you're either doing a game or you're watching, and if you're watching, from my perspective, it's I'd just as soon be there. And the fact I can be in the rink for three different series is great for me. I hope people don't get tired of my voice, because I'm going to be enjoying it, and I hope they do too.
Before I let you go, Peter Maher, longtime Flames voice, always said if his voice was starting to go, he would drink or gargle vinegar. Do you have any magic potion to help your voice, your vocal cords?
You know, I was listening to a few podcasts, and I happened to be listening to one with some British broadcasters who cover soccer, and they were talking about these lozenges I'd never heard of before, and so I went on Amazon and ordered these British lozenges. So we'll put those to the test. John Garrett always had a supply of Fisherman's Friends, so between that and these new found lozenges, so hopefully. Hopefully there's no other medicinal ingredients that...
Well, I was going to say.
Yeah. I might veer off course. And if I do, you know it's the lozenges.
Yeah, you got to be careful. The gummy candies and lozenges can get you in trouble these days. Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, that could be trouble. I better read the ingredients.
That's
here.
Right. And if nothing else, I hear Jack Daniels works too. Just a quick
there
smell.
You go. But vinegar. I might have to get a little vinegar too.
Yeah, never know.
His voice never let him down.
You'll have quite the array of products back there. Some vinegar, booze, lozenges. You'll be all set up in that broadcast booth.
Well, I don't need any hair products, so I might as well have other products.
Can't wait, Chris. Thanks for your time, man. We're so excited, and we know you'll be great.
Great to be with you guys. Enjoy. Thanks.
You bet. There he is, Chris Cuthbert.
Oh, yeah, good stuff from early this morning right here. Boomer, Ryan Pinder, and Will Nault on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, we're going to take a break. We might have to update you on some stuff with the Blue Jays, a few other things as well. Hockey Central flips to Peter Klein coming up after 1 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon making way for Peter Klein, and then Pat Steinberg after 2 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So we may have some breaking news or updated news when it comes to the Jays. What can you tell us about their home away from Toronto?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a work in progress right
Moving
now.
Moving target?
Yeah, we won't call it breaking just yet, but it doesn't sound like things are as good as they were this morning for the Jays. If you've heard in trending nows, I've mentioned that the Jays think that they found their home for their home games, at least this season, in Pittsburgh at PNC Park after coming to an agreement with the Pirates. Now, that was all barring Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh health officials okaying this and finding a way for the Jays to do this. And as of right now, a couple of sources coming out and saying that that doesn't sound like that's going to go over so well. So the Jays are in Boston tonight taking on the Red Sox, and they're set for their home opener in not too long from now. We know it won't be in Pittsburgh, or excuse me, we know it won't be in Toronto, and it sounds less likely like it's going to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and they were really saying they didn't want to go to Buffalo just because they did think they could get that stadium up to speed, both broadcast-wise and, more importantly, with clubhouse-wise for MLB teams. They spend so much time and do so much in their clubhouse that they need certain things for medical and certain things for just to, you know, meetings and that kind of stuff. This is going to be weird. So they're going to play somewhere. We just don't know where it is right now. And we will have the Toronto Blue Jays on the air for you coming up this afternoon. We'll go about 5:25, first pitch from Fenway. As it was actually pretty cool. It was cool to listen to the guys. You know, they were calling it off a monitor, and I thought they did really, really well. So that was neat. And we will have the Jays season opener coming up on Friday, and that'll be a 4:30 start. And then just check our website, sportsnet.ca/960, for all the times that we'll have the Blue Jays on, because it'll be a lot. Again, Saturday, Sunday, Monday as well. That is the plan, but also lots of hockey, too. Just announced we're going to have... you know, we know we're going to have the preseason or the exhibition game, Flames and Oilers, coming up on Tuesday, but also on Wednesday, right after the Blue Jays game, we're going to have the Vancouver Canucks and Winnipeg Jets. So we'll get to hear the Jets a tune-up game as they get ready for the Flames August the 1st, which is Saturday. We've got Pittsburgh, Montreal, a couple of games. We've got Chicago, Edmonton for a few games. Vancouver, Minnesota, Columbus, Toronto, and of course, huge focus on Flames and Winnipeg. So you won't that long weekend. You will have lots of hockey on the radio, and baseball, and lots of stuff. And Logan, I think we deserve it.
It's been a while, right? We've done a pretty good job here.
We owe it to our audience, and I know you guys are excited for it too. So we'll be all over it. Best way just to check it on the old website to see when the games are. Just as a rule of thumb, we can't stream the baseball, but we can stream the NHL. So if you've got the Sportsnet app, or if you've got the Radio Player Canada app, or just streaming off our website, hockey, yes, baseball, no. And it's not our rules, it's theirs. So that's happening. Okay. What have you guys got planned for the 1 o'clock hour as we have the return of Peter Klein?
Well, I believe Peter was going to talk to the voice of the Blue Jays on the radio, Ben Wagner, about what PNC Park would be like as the new home of the Toronto Blue Jays
for
this season.
Scratch those questions, maybe. Or
yeah,
them
so
for the
maybe
end.
That's completely, entirely changed over the last 20 minutes or so. But we'll still have Ben on and get a feel for what it was like calling the game yesterday. And I was with you. I thought they did an excellent job calling it off of the monitors. I couldn't tell much of a difference that they weren't in an empty stadium anyway. So props to them. They did a really good job on that. So we'll talk to Ben about the upcoming season and whether or not they have any new news about the Jays and where they're going to play their games. And then we'll have three burning questions, of course, at probably around 1:45 or so before Pat joins us at 2.
It's going to be a busy show. I got to tell you, on Monday, Eric Francis is back as the Eric Francis Show 9 to 10. It's all brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Watch and wager on Century Downs live horse racing from the comfort of your own home. If you want some details on how you do it, just go to hpibet.com and find out all the details. Eric Francis will be here on Fridays as well for Eric Francis Fridays and Hockey Central. But 9 to 10 is Eric Francis Show right here on Sportsnet 960. Okay, we'll get out of here. PK's ready, and here we go with Hour 1 of Pinder and Steinberg on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.